And so, Lord, I pray that you will be exalted amongst us. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right. So, I'm going to start us off this evening by shouting. No, I'm just kidding. We're not going to shout. I love shouting, but not all the time. Okay. But so tonight, what I'm going to share about is something that I believe that at the value of every Christian in their walk with Jesus, sorry, my words.
Yes. Give me some water.
But that every person that walks with Jesus would be this way. That is my heart, that is my desire, and that is my trust for each and every one of us this evening. Yeah. That the Word of God would come and pierce our hearts, our minds, our grace, everything that He gives us, that it will be changed this evening. And so tonight I'm speaking about seek first the kingdom of God. And I'm going to start off with a small little passage in Matthew 4, verse 18 to 22. And it says this. One day. As Jesus was walking along the shore of the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon, also called Peter, and Andrew, throwing a net into the water, for they fished for a living. Who has ever fished for a living? Definitely not me. Who can fish? Some of us. The only fishing I do is... I don't even know. I don't fish. Sorry, guys. Sorry, fishermen. Anyway, so verse 19, it says, Jesus called out to them, come follow me, and I will show you how to fish for people. And they left their nets at once and followed him. A little farther up the shore, he saw two other brothers, James and John, sitting in a boat with their father, Zebedee, repairing their nets, and he called them to come too. They immediately followed him, leaving the boat and their father behind. And so, how should we react when God calls us? Well, very plainly and very simply, when he called them, they left everything. It wasn't something of, okay, maybe we're doing this. Like, no, they called. When he called them, they left everything. And so, when God calls us, we leave our old lives behind us, and now we start walking with Jesus. We're saying goodbye to the old life, and now we're starting to walk with this new life that Jesus wants to give us. And so, what happens when I open up a door and go through the door and close it again? Everything that was behind me stays behind me. The door is now shut. And so my sin and everything of my past is now behind me. I close that door behind me and say, no longer will I be like that. I am now living into the new life, into the house that God has called me into. Because before he called me, I was outside. I was freezing. I was getting cold. I was doing all these things that shouldn't be done. But still, I did it. And then Jesus calls me. And I close the sinful door behind me. I close everything behind me. And I choose to follow him for the rest of my life. And so sin remains behind me. But my new life in Christ is what lays before me. We are called to respond immediately to Christ. And so, here's a question. Who of you know what the actual word immediately means? Someone here, who can tell me? Who can tell me? What does immediately mean? Okay, some bit more info.
Without delay.
So, Munyake, if I ask you, Munyake, how are you doing this day and give me a little bit of an example of how's it going, how was your day like? Go for it.
Doing well.
Yes. Yeah, I'm coming.
Why did I do that? It's because it doesn't matter what I'm busy with. Even if I'm in the middle of a conversation with someone that's very important to me. When Jesus calls, I leave it immediately and I follow him. And I hear what he has to say. And so we do not follow Jesus just because it's the good thing or the right thing. We follow Jesus because we want to follow him. He means everything to us. So I would leave absolutely everything, even my conversation, because I want to follow Jesus. Why? Let me explain to you why. Philippians 2, verse 5 to 8. Have this mind amongst yourself, which is yours, ours, in Christ Jesus, who though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself by taking the form of a servant. Being born in the likeness of men and being found in human form, he humbled himself, becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. So Jesus did not hesitate to follow the Father. There was no hesitation in his heart or in his mind to follow God. And what happened? Because he chose to follow the Father, he paid the ultimate price. He died for our sins. The perfect man, the perfect lamb that was slain for each and every one of us because we are a sinful creation. He created us in his image. And what did we do? We threw it away because sin is so delicious. Why? Because the enemy says, this piece of cake that you've desired for your whole life, I will give it to you. And then we take it. Because sin is so pleasing that the one thing that you desire most, Satan will give it to you. And then we go, Jesus, but you need to help me. I need to now live for you, so help me to fight this. Well, 99% of the time, what we do is we hear Jesus saying, Henrico, I've got a bright free future for you. And then Satan's like, oh, chocolate cake. And I'm like, your Lord, that chocolate cake looks amazing. And why? Because I'm unsure of what Jesus has for me. There's an uncertainty. And so now I would rather want a chocolate cake which I can see and taste and I like makes my mouth water. Because that is the tactics of Satan. It's so mouth-watering that you want to do it. And then when you've done it, oh, I feel like an ox. Why did I do that? I'm going to have to go to the gym for the rest of my life just because of this piece of cake. And that's what the enemy does. Is it allows us to enjoy it in the moment. But what comes after that is sin, shame, guilt, everything that keeps us from Jesus. So Satan has won. Satan has got us into that place where he has for us. And now Jesus is still standing there and he's saying, my son, my daughter, come to me. Do not eat of that cake because it will kill you. It will destroy you. It will harm you. Most of all, it will keep you from me. In Galatians 2 verse 20, this is what we as Christians should live by. I got saved, and in the next few weeks, this is probably the scripture that was mostly quoted in the few weeks after I got saved. And it's this. I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer Henrico, I who live, but it's Christ who lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. And so he gave himself for me, but I'm not willing to give myself to him. No, scripture teaches me when I give my life to Christ, it is no longer I who live. My life has been crucified with Christ. I now live in this new life that he has called me to. So my life belongs to Jesus and not to myself. Everything we receive in this life is a privilege. It's not a right. It's such a privilege that Jesus gives us the thing that we have. But what are we doing with it? Are we glorifying him? Or are we indulging in this thing, the chocolate cake? So yummy, so delicious. And so we deserve death. Each and every one of us, we deserve death. But Jesus gives us new life in Christ Jesus.
Yeah.
Yes. And so I want to say this. What is the things that stops us from living for Jesus? What is the number one thing in this world that you need and you cannot live without?
Money.
What is the thing that causes you to fall the hardest into the traps of Satan?
Money.
The scripture teaches us it's harder for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man, or easier, sorry. Easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of heaven. But now you're all thinking, Enrico, but I don't have money, I'm okay. No, you are still in trouble. Because just because you don't have money doesn't mean that money does not become the one thing that you desire more than Christ Jesus. Because if we desire money or the things that it has for us more than we desire Jesus, we will suffer with it. And can I tell you a beautiful secret? That money's not going with you. You're going to die. And that money is going to go to anyone else but you. But you have the opportunity to live with Christ Jesus in the rest of eternity. What is some of the other things that destroys us when we come to a place of not living for Jesus? Comfort. I want to stay in my bed. It's raining outside. I don't want to go to church. It's cold. I don't want to go to community. Oh, I had a long day. I had a busy day. Oh, I'm just not going to go. Comfort kills us. And it actually causes us to not walk into the things which Christ Jesus has for us. And some of you might feel like, Enrico, you are targeting me right now. Come on. Because it's not me. I believe that Christ wants us to realize that the things that we are busy with is keeping us from him. What is some of the other things? Your friends. Your friends might be keeping you from Jesus. Why? Because what if they like smoking or drinking or partying or doing things that does not please God? It's like, Lord, but that's going to be so fun. Well, is the fun, are you okay with the fun causing you your eternity? They do what they want. Why can't I, Lord? They're not following you, but you are. And so follow him with everything in you. Your studies, your work. Your studies can come before Jesus. Your work can come before Jesus. And I want to share this story because I can with full confidence say that my work became before Jesus. When I left Wellington and the Lord called me back to Bloemfontein to start working for my father, I was thinking to myself, he's going to allow me to be his manager. I'm going to run this company one day and it's going to be amazing. I was like, this is going to be an absolute joy. I'm going to make money. It's going to be a massive blessing. Guess what? I didn't make a lot of money. It wasn't an absolute blessing. But what it did do is that it kept me from walking into that which God has for me. Not because he didn't give it to me. He did give it to me. He asked me to move back. I was part of a Bible school. I was actually one of the leaders in the Bible school. And then the Lord says, Enrico, I want you to go and work for your father. And I was like, what? Lord, you know my father. I don't want to work for him. And I went because I knew God is calling me. And as I went and followed into what God has for me, I started working so hard that I know Ed works a lot harder than me, but this guy is a legend. He works from sometimes throughout the night. Yes. Privilege of being a doctor, right? But the thing is, like, I worked for such a long hours for me. I was like, Lord, I can't do this. I was busy studying and I was working and I wanted to devote myself to the kingdom of God and the church. And so as I was working, I had to be at work at 7 in the morning. So I have to leave the house at 6:30. My previous job at the Bible school, I would leave my house 2 minutes before 8 and I would arrive at 8 because I was staying right next to my office. Now this work's come. I need to drive half an hour, get stuck in traffic, get there, open up everything, work from 7 to 5, wait until everyone has done everything that they needed to do, and sometimes I would get home at 6 o'clock in the evening. Then I need to start studying. I studied theology, and I was like, it's God's work. I need to study theology. So now I study. Now it's like I'm leading a community. Now I need to make sure that I prep for Wednesdays. I need to make sure that I'm ready for a Sunday. Hoya, he was leading the church. And I was like, Hoya, whatever you want of me, I will do it. 6 months in, Hoya came to me. He's like, Enrico, you're amazing. I can see you want to run for the kingdom. But you're not being a blessing right now. Because I can't see you. You're not there. You say you want to be there, but you're not there. Because my work became so consuming that I was unable to go to church sometimes. That I was so tired. Wednesday night community. Aya comes visit and I give the worst teaching or the worst community that I ever have given. Why? Because my time and my heart was so divided between work and the kingdom. And so it can be for each and every one of us in our work and in our studies. It can cause us to actually not live for Jesus properly. Because we're so excited about what God is doing in our business or in the work that we are in or the studies that we are in or in the school that we are in that we forget to live for Jesus. I love that when Dalvin was preaching for the first time, he said, sometimes halfway through the day, I forget that I'm a Christian. And I'm like, it's the honest truth. Sometimes you become so busy with life and the things that you're busy with. Halfway through the day, you're like, oh, shucks, yes, I'm a Christian. And I need to act that way.
Sure.
And it's normal. But we come to fight against it because it is no longer I live, but it's Christ Jesus living in me. And so now I live for Him, even through my work and through my studies. Last thing that can keep us from living for Jesus, our emotions. When our emotions are more in control of our life than Christ, we will crumble in our emotions. And it will cause many things. Some of which is depression. Some which is, I'm not worthy enough. I'm not good enough. And so we fall into this mentality of I'm now a slave to sin and not a slave to Christ Jesus, which has died for me, who has rose and let me live in this new life with Him. But when there's a but, there's always good news. And so it says we have an inheritance in Christ. And so Matthew 6:33. But seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, And all these things will be added to you. Seek His kingdom first. Above your emotions, above your job, above your studies, above your personal life. Seek Him before anything. You guys remember last week I was preaching about how I put God before my child, I put God before my wife? This week I was so confronted with that same thing. I preached it, and in this week the Lord said, "Oh, really?" And I was tested on it. Literally. We went to the gynecologist on Tuesday, and then she said, she's like, she's happy, but she wants to keep Elise just for observation for like an hour or so. I'm like, "Oh, our baby's heart rate isn't good." And I'm sitting there like, "Oh, Lord. What happens if she doesn't make it?" And these thoughts come into my heart and into my mind. And now, instead of the enemy putting a cake in front of me, he's putting this doom and gloom in front of me and saying, "Enrico, this will happen." And now I've got the option to choose Jesus or follow into my emotions. And so last week I was tested on the exact same thing that I preached the previous week. The thing that you read in the scriptures this morning, you will probably get tested on it. The thing that you pray this evening, you will get tested on it tomorrow. Why? Because the Lord wants to build us in character. He wants to shape us so that we would seek His kingdom first and His righteousness. And so that all the things of life that He wants to give us will come with it. For some of us, He wants us to be rich. And He's going to bless us with it if we are faithful. For some of us, He wants us to remain on the poorer side, just scraping through every month. Why? Because He knows that is what we can handle. He knows that is what is going to build our character the most. He's going to give you tough times. He's going to allow you to see things that you're like, "Lord, why did you take this away from me? Or Lord, why did you give this to me?" He's wanting your character to be tested so that you can say, "Lord, I will seek your kingdom first. I will seek you first. Above the things that you have blessed me with. Above the things that you allow to be taken away." If you go and read the story of Job, do yourself a favor. Go and read it. God allowed that Satan would take away everything. His wife, his children. No, he took his wife as well. His wife, his children, his riches, everything, his cattle, everything. His friends cursed him and said, "No, man, this is not God." His wife said, "Just curse God and go on." And so God allowed that Satan could take everything away. And Job remained faithful and trusted that the Lord would actually come and restore everything. And he just remained faithful in God's house, trusting the Lord, seeking His kingdom first. And when everything was over, God blessed him over and above. He gave him more than he had previously. And so this inheritance that we are called into, first of all, it is eternal life. An eternal life with Christ in heaven, or an eternal life in hell because we live for ourselves. Follow Him. If we follow Him and stay obedient to His word, we will walk into the inheritance that He has called us to. What is something? Last week I spoke about fellowship. Fellowship is part of what He has called us into, and an inheritance that He has called us into. Because now it's not just about me. I don't want to work on my own inheritance. I'm working on the inheritance of each and every person sitting in this room.
And it's not my job alone. It's each and every one of our jobs to make sure that we are pursuing one another into the kingdom of God. Helping one another to grow into the kingdom of God. If you build a house, are you going to get one builder to build your house? No. You're going to get the manager. And you're going to say, bring whoever and whatever you can so that my house can be built up as quick as possible. And so that is why church is not a one-man show. Church is a body of Christ, a body of believers that comes together to build the kingdom of God. So I cannot do it without you, and you cannot do it without me. You cannot do it with a person, or you must do it with a person that's left and right to you. You cannot do it on your own. Doesn't matter how hard you try, you won't ever be able to. And I'm finishing off with the last two scriptures. Revelation 19:6-9. Then I heard what seemed to be the voice of a great multitude, like the roar of many waters, and like the sound of mighty peals of thunder, crying out, "Hallelujah! For the Lord our God, the Almighty, reigns. Let us rejoice and exalt and give Him glory, for the marriage of the Lamb has come, and His bride has made herself ready. It was granted her to clothe herself with fine linen, bright and pure. For the fine linen is the righteous deeds of the saints." And the angel said to me, "Write this, blessed are those who are invited to the marriage supper of the Lamb." And he said to me, "These are the true words of God." And so we as the saints in the life of God's kingdom, our righteousness, the way that we live our life for Christ, for the Word of God, that is the thing that helps us to become a pure and spotless bride. It's not just me being almighty and saying one thing and doing another. It's the righteous deeds of the saints that build up the kingdom of God. He's not coming back for me. He's coming back for each and every one of us. But within that calling that is coming back for us, He's saying, live a righteous life. And so you might ask, Enrico, why are we living for Jesus? Who are we living for? Now I want to read us this last scripture, because this is who we are living for. Revelation 1 verse 12 to 18. Then I turned, this is now John writing the book of Revelation, and he says, "Then I turned to see the voice that was speaking to me. And on turning, I saw seven golden lampstands, and in the midst of the lampstand, one like a son of man, clothed with a long robe and with a golden sash around his chest. The hairs of his head were white like wool, like snow. His eyes were like a flame of fire. His feet were like burnished bronze, refined in a furnace. And his voice was like the roar of many waters. In his right hand he held seven stars. From his mouth came a sharp two-edged sword. And his face was like the sun shining in full strength. When I saw him, I fell at his feet as though dead. But he laid his right hand on me, saying, 'Fear not, I am the first and the last and the living one. I died, and behold, I am alive forevermore, and I have the keys of death and Hades.'"